Good morning. Right now it is 79 degrees and our time is 8:06. I'm Tom Davis with a look at this news right here on AM 1400 and FM 93.3 K1. Oklahoma's unemployment rate fell again in May, dropping to 3.2% and staying below the national average. The Oklahoma Employment Security Commission reported Friday that the Oklahoma's seasonally adjusted unemployment rate fell last month from 3.3%, which had been steady since February. The commission reported that the job sectors with the largest monthly gains were transportation, utilities, government, and the other service sectors. Also, the city of Bartlesville's water department will test and flush the hydrants in zones 9 and 14 coming up on Monday, so you've got to be prepared for that. Zone 9 is on Nowata Road, and that is going south to Price Road. This includes Cane Hill, and that goes east to Washington Boulevard. Zone 14 also starts at Nowata Road, but it goes south to Price Road. However, the zone goes from Washington Boulevard East Bison. Crews will be flushing the hydrants all week long, and you need to watch out because of the discoloration of the water. It might take place during that time, and you're advised to use caution while doing your laundry. Right now, it is 8:08. Your weather for today, we are looking for a chance of showers later on, but right now, we're looking at the possibility of a heat index of 102. Very, very hot today, and we're looking for also a high of 91. Now, for tonight, we are looking at rain, and the forecast could see 1 to 2 inches at a low of 69. It is 8:08. Stay tuned. We've got the Green Country Gardener coming up right here on K1.
It's Saturday morning. Time for Green Country Gardener. Green Country Gardener brought to you by OK Federal Credit Union, Green Thumb Nursery, United Rentals, Enterprise Sod Store, American Heritage Bank, Osage Region, Peter's True Value, Four Seasons Ag and Lawn, and Overlees Woods Lumber. If you have a gardening question for Larry Glass, call 918-336-1400 or 800-749-5936. And now, the man with the emerald thumb, Larry Glass.
All right. Good morning, Larry. And hot, hot, hot. And welcome aboard today. We are looking at, of course, a lot of hot weather. And that has a lot to do with what's going on in the world with our plants and things.
Yeah. Good morning, Tom. Good to see you.
Ready, very good. Now, we got a lot of big questions. How often do I water my plants?
Yeah.
A lot of things are going on with the heat.
Yeah, typically people, when you water your plants, you want to let the surface of the soil get somewhat dry in between waterings. Most of the plants that are planted in the yard don't, they don't really need that much water. They need a little bit of a break in between the waterings, so they don't get overwatered. Now, one of the downfalls of overwatering is, of course, root rot.
Oh, boy, you don't need that.
And a root rot is when the plant, when the soil has an anaerobic situation, air can't get down to the roots, and they sort of die out. And then a fungus takes over, and then the leaves of the plant will turn black. And then once you see black leaves on your red buds and things like that, it's too late.
I'm attractive, and the death of the plant there.
Yeah, I know. Y'all spent all this money on this plant and it dies. What's the matter with it? Well, you dig it up, you'll find out. You watered it too much. Too much care. Too much love. Ease back on that a little bit.
That was a problem with some of the farmers in the Midwest. They planted their corn or their soybeans or their wheat or whatever, and the water came and sat on the ground, and the seeds died because they...
It's anaerobic. The soil is basically a biological system. It's not just something strictly to hold the plants in place or something.
Yeah.
It's where plants get their nutrients or nitrogen, the phosphorus, potassium, and iron and zinc and cobalt and all that other stuff. And they get carbon dioxide from the air.
And, of course, they return it in the form of oxygen to us, so mm-hmm. It's a pretty good symbiotic relationship.
Nothing better than oxygen and soybeans, let me tell you.
Now, what should we be doing in the gardening right now? I mean, we've been having some just awful weather, but things have been growing. So what should we be doing now, Larry?
Well, actually, mulching is probably one of the better things you can do now, especially around the tomatoes. Mulching is very important to conserve water, and that's kind of a hard concept to understand considering all the rain we've had. But nonetheless, sometime the faucet will turn off, And usually when they flush the fire hydrants is when that happens.
Pressure goes way down low.
Yeah, I wonder where the little handle is on the fire hydrant. I've never seen that. But anyway, so so you want to make sure your plants are ready for the oncoming dry period. We do have it. Traditionally, we do have a dry period, although the weather guessers are predicting somewhat of a more wetter than normal summer. Mm-hmm. Wonder where they got that idea.
I don't know.
And then actually even cooler than normal summer. So, in other words, it'll be 102 instead of 105.
Well, there you go. You got to take your break. Summer,
there you go. So, so, anyway, so we had to prepare for that. And mulch does a very good job of help conserving moisture, number one. Number two, it helps moderate the soil temperature. If you have plants that are out in the sun and the sun bears down on them, the soil temperature will increase, and that can cause some problems with roots, overheating of the roots, too. Tomatoes are kind of sensitive to that. So you put a mulch down after the soil temperature has reached about 70, which we're beyond that point now, and it'll help keep the moisture level more constant. The main reason why people have cracking on their tomatoes is an inconsistent moisture level in the soil. They're used to kind of maybe a dry situation, then you water them, and then the water goes up, and then it expands into the tomato, and it cracks. And you get mold and bugs and stuff in it. So try to keep that the moisture level fairly constant around your tomato plants. And mulch is a good way to do that.
Okay, when we start talking about some of the other plants that we've got listed here today, when it comes to, the iris, you say the dry season is coming just a little bit. I'll believe it when I see it this summer. But we got to do some cutting away, don't we?
Right. Your spent stalks on your iris and your peonies. Mm-hmm. Typically, your early blooming perennials need to be cut back at this point, and you just throw them out. And I have a peony in the backyard on which I'm going to save the seeds on it and try to grow them and see what happens.
You never know.
Yeah. So anyway, but traditionally, they are cut off. And your tulip bulbs, they're gone already. Daffodils, they're gone. The pansies, I just pulled my last pansies out this last week. They were on their way out, and they weren't very pretty anymore, so they'd have planted some periwinkles in their place. So time marches on, and we must change the way we do our gardens when that happens, and things need to be trimmed and pruned. Now, getting back to the iris, if you need to move them or thin them out, something of which most people are guilty, you need to think about doing that in July when they're dormant typically.
Now, we're also, I've got rose bushes. Mm-hmm. And this is new to me.
Okay.
Just moved into a house of beautiful rose bushes on here. It is the season to be spraying for insects and fungus at the same time.
Fungus. I'm seeing some black spot even on my Julia Child rose.
Oh, my.
It has a little bit of black spot on it. It's in a resting mode right now. It didn't have as many flowers on it. So it's opportune at this point. If your roses are really not producing very much roses, it's a good time perhaps to cut them back somewhat.
Now, also, we're looking at the possibility of some bugs coming into play. And when we were talking about spraying for insects, lace bugs and mites on your azaleas are in full swing right now.
Yes, they're starting to come in. I've been to several people's houses.
And check
you
on
walk,
that.
Yeah. Walk up their front door, and you get this smell from the boxwoods. And, yeah, nothing like the smell of a fresh litter box.
It's about the same.
The boxwoods themselves don't make that smell. It's the mites that affect the boxwoods.
That's where it's coming from.
Boxwoods typically are odorless. So mites are a difficult one to control. You can use a synthesized pyrethroid insecticide, resmethrin, deltamethrin, permethrin, pyrethrin, which is the organic form of the pyrethrin, it's pyrethroids. And that does a good job of controlling the mites. You have to be fairly consistent with it, though, because their populations, they have about a 3-day gestation period, and it's difficult to break that cycle because of that. Using a summer oil is another way to do it. Summer oil can be the form of summer horticultural oil, mm-hmm. or you can use neem oil. Neem oil is very safe to use, and it's a bit more than just control mites and fungus and things. It's a good life cycle interrupter, too, on insects. But mites are not insects. they're arachnids, so we have to treat them a little differently.
A little differentiation.
So the systemics that are currently available to the public don't work on mice.
All right, coming up in just a little bit, annuals, perennials, and trees. Oh, my! This is the Green Country Gardener. We'll be back in a moment.
Brent Walker's in from United Rentals. And, Brent, why would somebody want to rent as opposed to just going out and buying a piece of gear?
Rentals works great just for the one-time use, two-time use type person versus laying out that kind of dollars for bigger and heavier equipment.
Weather around Oklahoma can cause power outages. And you've got generator for people.
We have generators from the small, we call them suitcase size, all the way up to large to run buildings, homes, businesses, so we can get you taken care of with generators.
United Rentals in Bartlesville, 3801 Southeast Nowater Road. Call to reserve your equipment rentals, 918-333-9580.
Spring has arrived. And like clockwork, Green Thumb Nursery has their new shipment of trees and shrubs, annuals, perennials, and tropical plants in. And they now have their new shipment of herbs in, too. Head to Green Thumb Nursery and Greenhouses on Nowata Road, Bartlesville's largest selection of quality plants and more. Open Monday through Saturday, 9 to 5:30, Sunday, noon to 5. And be sure to ask about a custom new landscape design plan. Green Thumb Nursery and Greenhouses on Nowata Road.
Hey, have you noticed all the new landscaping downtown?
That new landscaping does more than just add beauty to our community.
Really?
It's a rain garden, part of the community's green stormwater infrastructure plan. It uses natural vegetation to absorb rainwater, reduce flooding, and manage the effects of storms. It's one of the ways our community is managing the connection between how we use our land and manage our water resources, providing multiple benefits for all.
Learn more about how planners are working to help communities at planning.org. Brought to you by the American Planning Association.
When you need the help of a good mechanic, ABS Performance is where you need to go. They can do everything from a simple oil change to a full-blown transmission and engine replacement. No job is too big or small, and having the right mechanic for general and complete automotive care is important. They'll keep your vehicle up to date on oil changes and routine maintenance. Seek the help of a good mechanic. Head to ABS Performance on Price Road next to the Washington Park Mall in Bartlesville. Phone number 918-333-4420.
Good morning and welcome back to the Green Country Gardener Program. It's 8:19. I'm Tom. Larry is with us here. And before we get into the annuals, perennials, and trees, oh my, let's get back to some of the things that are bugging you, the bugs.
Yeah, we're getting an increase in frequency of people bringing by plants that are affected by bagworms.
Mm.
Bagworms are those little insects that eat people's junipers, primarily, and other plants, whatever they can get a hold of. They're not really that picky. But they can cause problems with anything from your Japanese maples to the eave of the house. Yes, they will crawl on the house and actually make their little bags on the house.
Man, these guys see your backyard and your home pretty much like a buffet, don't they?
What a great theme for a sci-fi movie.
Oh, yeah, the bagworm.
The bagworm that ate my Buick, yes.
Wow. A creature from outer space.
But anyway, they're just now getting started. So you have the ground floor opportunity at this point to control the bagworms.
Let's get ahead of that game. That's for
sure. They are easy to control, but being prompt and being early when you first see them is the best way to control them. Because once they get to the mature stage, they're not eating anymore. They're pupating, so they don't eat.
Ooh.
So you want to get them while they're eating, and they're doing that right now. So look at your members of the pine family. Things like arborvitaes, spruce, dwarf Alberta spruce get them pretty bad. And even Japanese maples. And somebody brought in a barberry, actually, that couldn't believe it, were eaten up by them, too. So, but look at all your plants. And if you see these little things wiggling in the breeze, of course, a lot of things wiggle in the breeze when it's windy. But nonetheless, when there is no breeze, you'll see that there's a little bit of movement here and there. Those are the bagworms and the little triangular-shaped bag hanging from there is a good evidence that you have them.
There's your target.
Yeah, so typically they attack junipers that are more upright growing. They don't attack really the low-growing ones as much as they do the uprights. They just don't like to be that close to the ground. So, so the Bacillus thuringiensis works very well to control them at this point, otherwise known as BT.
Okay.
Or dipels, in other words. But anyway, it's a bacterial type. It's a bacterial spore. And the insect ingests that, and it paralyzes their digestive tract. They're not hungry. So
and
they just starve.
They don't hang around very
That's
much.
That's cruel. That's really cruel to starve these little insects. Golly, they're just trying to live. But anyway, at your expense, of course. So anyway, that works well. The systemic insecticide, although it might be a little bit too late for transmittal to occur enough to where it's going to be where the insects are, it works well also. The imidacloprid, an application a month ago would have done a good job to control that. But at this point in time, if you haven't done anything like that, and you do have bagworms, you want to do a topical application, and that would be in the form of the BT, or you can use spinosad, otherwise known as Jack's dead bug.
I had forgotten about that.
It works pretty well to control them, too. The spinosad is another organically derived insecticide that's really quite effective. I spray my plums with it, and I'll be up all night picking plums ahead of the rain, hopefully. So anyway,
we got a little few sprinkles, but we'll see how it shapes out for you right now.
No, it is a little wet out there.
Yeah, just a little bit on the
side. Oh, well, there goes my day. But nonetheless,
I was going to move. Doggone it!
I did that last night. I knew. But anyway, so bagworms, you got to really be careful and watch really closely for them. Another pest that's coming into vogue right now are the lace bugs on azaleas. They really like azaleas. The lace bug is a tiny little thing about the size of a fruit fly, and it pierces a hole in the bottom of the leaf of your azalea plant, and it has a little proboscis that goes through that hole and scoops out the layer in between the upper epidermis and the lower epidermis, otherwise known as the palisade mesophyll. Okay. And it scrapes out all the little chloroplasts in there and just eats it up. And you're left with basically a shell of a leaf.
Not good.
Yeah, the upper and lower epidermis with nothing in the middle.
Been hollowed out.
Yeah. Oh. And it doesn't do anything for the plant. Doesn't do anything for the appearance that way.
There's nothing left to photosynthesize with.
Exactly. Yeah. So they need to be controlled at this point also. And the aforementioned insecticides, with the exception of the thuricide, will work on those. So don't use the thuricide will not work on the lace bugs, but the spinosad will, and the imidacloprid will also. The former control of that was dicistan, and that's real hard to get a hold of anymore. So you want to try to use those as soon as possible. So that's kind of
how do you know when you got lace bugs? I mean, is there
if you have azaleas, you have lace bugs.
Okay,
they're going to be there. One will not be there without the other.
We have some members of the Encore Azaleas groups, which is a summer blooming and fall blooming azalea. Mm-hmm. And we have some that are presently unaffected by these insects. So there is a little bit of resistance in there. Probably has something to do with the resins in the leaves that these have that they don't like. So there are some that just simply don't get them.
Okay. Very good.
So anyway, so.
Now, I didn't mean to interrupt you there.
Go ahead.
But you got to get those under control, or your plants are going to perform poorly, if not at all.
Right. Another issue is powdery mildew, mm-hmm. and that'll get to be a problem with some of the crepe myrtles. Some of the older crepe myrtle varieties tend to get that. Okay. Tomatoes, cucumbers get it really bad, too, in the hot, humid weather. It's a fungus that affects the leaf. It looks real pale, and it's like it has a powdery on it. Zinnias, the old kind of zinnia plants get this as well. And the best way to control that is to not let it get humid and not let it rain. That's the best way to control powdery mildew.
Good luck.
But a copper fungicide will work pretty easily on that. It's pretty easy to control, but just about any kind of fungicide will control powdery mildew. So just sulfur will work fine too. So that's going to be a little bit of a problem, too, with the heat associated with the humidity and a lot of moisture.
Annuals is something we have on our list that we were going to talk about today, and it's a vital part of your landscape. Pops a lot of color this time of year.
Yes.
And right now, what do we got going on with our annuals?
Golly, everything's going on. The periwinkles is finally getting warm enough for periwinkles. Okay. I planted some in my yard a month ago. Okay. They haven't grown. But they're starting to take off. These last few warm weather days have really made them take off. So it's good periwinkle weather right now. There's all kinds of annuals out there. The some of the latest, the good ones, are the of course the periwinkles that take the heat real well. Mm-hmm. One called Sun Patience, which is a sun-tolerant variety of impatient. And in the full sun, they will perform rather well, but they do need good soil. So the root system has to exploit a lot of area for them to be successful, mm-hmm. so they can draw up enough water. Impatiens are about 98% water, like kind of like humans. Mm-hmm. You know. And when they don't get enough water, they just wilt, and they look like, oh my gosh, I've lost it. There's like rags in the landscape. But at night, they perk back up, and they're fine in the morning. And people tend to water them real heavily when that happens. So, and that can lead to what we talked about earlier with the root rot. So they can be a little difficult in a full hot sun. But if they have a good heavy root system, they'll do okay. I like to plant them in about 75% sun, maybe a little bit of shielding in the afternoon. If you have a tree or something that blocks the sun during the middle of the day, they'll do just fine. So those do very well. We have some of the dwarf zinnias that perform real nicely, and they are resistant to the powdery mildew. And they're pretty, too. They like it kind of hot and dry. So full sun for those. And, of course, what we mentioned earlier, periwinkles. And sun coleus is one of my favorite annuals. Mm-hmm. It gets to be a big plant. It takes up a lot of space. You don't have to plant so many of them. Nothing bothers them. So
they're low maintenance.
Pretty good plants. They're very low maintenance. And they gave you some good leaf color. The yellow one, or the not the yellow ones, but the dark red ones. And you preface those with maybe a contrasting color, either a pink or a yellow or something in front of that. It really gives a lot of pop in your color in your landscape. So sun coleus are a good background plant. I just use them just spontaneously in the garden and work stuff around them. And it creates some visual interest, not only texturally, but color and size-wise, too. So they're kind of cool to have. So. Marigolds, the old favorite, they grow about anywhere. You can plant those. So just about any kind of annuals are pretty hot right now.
We're going to take a quick break here, and when we come back, we still have more on the way. It's the Green Country Gardener Program.
We'll go ahead and get the phone number out here as well, 800-749-5936. 918-336-1400. Your phone number for Green Country Gardener this morning.
All right. We'll take that break, and we'll be right back.
I'm looking for someone to join my team. As an account executive, you work closely with businesses to help them grow. We offer on-air and digital advertising in Bartlesville and across Northeast Oklahoma and Southeast Kansas. We start with a guaranteed salary leading to commissions with benefits, including profit sharing. If you'd like to help people succeed,
and get a bag of lawn winterizer for free, shop now and save at Peter's True Value in Dewey.
If you work or live in the downtown area, and are experiencing difficulty at times to find a place to park, worry no more. There is downtown parking available at 2nd and Osage that's convenient to downtown businesses and apartments. For more information and monthly rates, call 336-1001. That's 336-1001.
Do you enjoy helping people grow their businesses? Me too. I'm Tammy Brinkman, sales manager for K1, KYFM, K-Rig, and KPGM, and I'm looking for someone to join my team. As an account executive, you work closely with businesses to help them grow. We offer on-air and digital advertising in Bartlesville and across Northeast Oklahoma and Southeast Kansas. We start with a guaranteed salary leading to commissions with benefits, including profit sharing. If you'd like to help people succeed, join my team in radio. You can pick up an application at our office, 1200 Southeast Frank Phillips Boulevard, or download an application at BartlesvilleRadio.com and click Employ. Opportunities. Equal opportunity employer.
Head to Peter's True Value in Dewey and save with these bargains of the month. Watering your flowers and vegetables is easy with the Green Thumb Never Kink 50-foot by 5/8-inch heavy-duty gardening hose for just $14.99. Adirondack resin chairs are just $16.99 each, and the fold-in side table for $12.99. For use in your shop, get a 4-foot LED utility shop light for $24.99. Feed your lawn with a bag of Green Thumb lawn food that covers 5,000 square feet for $12.99, and get a bag of lawn winterizer for free. Shop now and save at Peter's True Value in Dewey.
How many times this week have you asked, what's the forecast for tomorrow? Well, just call the Weatherline Forecast Service, 918-336-2900, and find out. You get the forecast, plus the time or temperature from the studios of News Talk 1400 K1. Weatherline Forecast Service brought to you by Oklahoma Wesleyan University and by the Stump Funeral Home and Crematory. We update the Weatherline as the forecast changes, so you're always up to date. So put the numbers in your phone and call 918-336-2900.
Good morning. It's 8:32 at K1 and also all of the stations along our network line here today. It is the Green Country Gardener, and with Green Thumb Nursery, we have Larry here with us. And good morning once again, if you're just joining along. We've covered our annuals for today. Getting into, I guess, perennials today. Good time to plant in good soil.
Right. Good soil, I must emphasize.
Yeah, must emphasize.
Yeah. The perennials, the Echinaceae are starting to bloom right now. We have several different colors of that. Years back, they came up with a series called Ketchup and Mustard. It was a yellow cone flower and a red cone flower. Mm-hmm. And they've got, since then, they've got some others that are similar colors. But anyway, the cone flower is the one that's coming in right now. Okay. The hardy hibiscus is coming out. It's starting to come into bloom. We have some red-leaved and red-bloom varieties. And they bloom not periodically through the summer, but consistently through the summer. So it would be a good consideration for a fairly large perennial. Now, this particular variety is red-leaved and so on. It gets about hip-high, a little higher maybe sometimes. And covered in blooms, basically all from right about now, just a little bit later than now, maybe next week, all the way until frost, they bloom very consistently. So they do need, the better the soil, the better they grow. So you might want to do some ground prep when you plant those. Give them room. They get fairly large over time. They form a rather large clump. They don't spread like Bermuda grass or Johnson grass. They form a clump, and that clump gets larger over time. Mm-hmm. Eventually, you can split it. Only in the wintertime. Don't do it now.
Don't do that now. No, that'll harm everything, yes.
You can split it and make more of them over time. Mm-hmm. So I like this particular variety, but actually the hardy hibiscus in overall do really quite well in our weather here, which the hardy hibiscus typically is related to wet, swampy areas, but it adapts very well to most any soil situation.
So, as long as it's good.
This is one the breeders have had a lot of fun with.
They have?
Oh, yeah. All kinds of colors and whatnot, and sizes of blooms. We get some that have gigantic blooms, the size of Volkswagen wheels. No.
Now that's pretty good.
No, not that big. No, they don't get that big.
That's huge.
But if the conditions are right on certain varieties of the hardy hibiscus, you can get about a 10-inch wide flower.
Oh, boy.
But those don't bloom very much. They bloom for a short period of time, and that's it. A lot of energy goes into making the flowers. So. But anyway, hardy hibiscus is one to consider. Platycodons are another one.
Okay.
Those are balloon flowers, and they're blue.
Blue.
Yeah, blue.
Like the sky.
And it's kind of hard to get blue flowers that bloom consistently in the summertime. Something about blue, it's kind of tough to do. But anyway, these bloom for a very long period of time during the summer, in the frost sometimes too. And they're called balloon flower because as they, before they open up, they form, they look like little hot air balloons, the flowers do.
Yeah, that's
and then they open up.
Just pop nicely.
Yeah. Stay up all night and listen to them pop. But
I need to go back through the archives of this program and get all of Larry's sound effects.
Oh, yeah. You'll do that when I retire. You'll put together one.
Anyway. The best of Larry's sound effects.
And the perennial lantana is another favorite. It comes back and blooms every year. Give it lots of room, though. It does need it. And the hummingbirds and the monarch butterflies really like those real well. So they like a whole lot of sun and not too much moisture, though. They can tolerate the dryness really rather well. So you might consider a perennial lantana. We have those in several colors at the nursery. We got a caller?
Yeah, let's go ahead and put our caller on the air. And good morning. Welcome to the program.
Thank you. I have got one for the gardener.
Okay.
I got a plum tree that's about 3 years old, and I believe that it got too much water. It started dropping leaves from the bottom and was going up and looked like it was on fire. The very top of it is still a little bit green, but that's it. I'm wondering if that will come out of it.
It sounds like you do have possibly a root-related problem. But if you want some plums, you can come to my house and pick all you want. I'm going to be up all night pruning, picking them tonight. But no, they like a very well-drained area and kind of area where water doesn't sit and a fairly loose soil. So it's
pretty much gone then, you think? You don't think it'll come back?
Yeah, check out if you grab the stem and if it moves really easily in the soil, you've probably got a good old case of root rot.
Okay.
Another thing to look for is... bark that's peeling away. It could have borer issues. I fight borers all the time on mine. And you could have some borer problems too.
Okay.
But so they're susceptible to that. Another one is fire blight. If they were under stress when it was really cold, they can get some fire blight. And so it's probably one of those issues, either a root problem, root-related problem, borer problem, perhaps a fungus issue.
So, thank you, sir. Appreciate it.
All right. Thank you for calling.
And if you have a question, you can call in at 336-1400 or toll-free 1-800-749-5936. That's a freebie. That's a free call. I like that.
Those free shots are great, yeah.
Also, we were talking about perennials that are blooming right now. Mm-hmm. Another one is the scabiosa.
That's a new one for me.
Yeah. It sounds like something you just kind of want to pick off, you know, but...
Yeah, do you have an ointment for that?
Yeah, an ointment for that plant. Scabiosa is available in blue or pink.
All right.
Typically those two colors. And it blooms fairly consistently in the summer. So it might be one you might want to consider planting. Also, it's not a big plant, too. It stays fairly small. Mm-hmm. So it could go in the forefront of the foreground of the landscape to do very well. The Stella Doros are starting to bloom, and the Stella Doro is a daylily that came about a long time ago. Mm-hmm. And it blooms fairly consistently for a fairly long period of time. It does quit after a while, though. Amongst daylilies, it's one of them that bloom the longest. And if your Stella Doro is not blooming very well, if it's not performing very well, it needs to be divided.
Very, very good.
They get kind of clumpy. Every 3 years, they need to be split up and relocated. Or if you get too many of them, you set up a card table on the driveway and sell them. But nonetheless, the Stella Doros, about every 3 years, need to be split up for them to do well. They get just too crowded, and they just don't look pretty, and they just don't do well.
And it's not good for them, you know.
Yeah.
We talked about the daylilies and the scabiosis, and I said that correctly, I hope.
Yeah,
so there we go.
You did good, yeah. You're learning a lot. You're learning real quick.
Oh, yeah.
Quick learner here, yeah.
I'm going to be a botanist in no time. Right. That's why we have you here. Because, Larry, you are the man.
Okay, anyway.
This is Larry from Green Thumb Nursery, and it is the Green Country Gardener Program. And, of course, we're taking your phone calls as well.
Now,
what else we have?
For the shade in perennials,
yes.
Hostas are starting to show some flowers right now.
Sure.
And, really, I haven't seen... Well, I've seen a little bit of slug damage on hostas. They tend to get those. And there are some home remedies for that, i.e. Sawdust in the sand work pretty well. Diatomaceous earth is a good way to control the slugs. It makes their little toes itch, and they don't like that, so they go elsewhere.
There you go.
So anyway, and there are some varieties of hosta that don't tend to get that too much. The Patriot's one of my favorites. It's a variegated hosta, and I have them in my yard and don't have any slug problems with them, and nothing eats them, so they're pretty good plant. So hosta is another good one for the shade. Another plant for the shade, the one that not everybody knows about, but it's really quite showy, is heuchera. It has, remember the old chatterbox plant that grandma used to have with these pink flowers all over the top?
Mm-hmm.
Well,
yes,
the breeders have bred this one to where it has variegated colored leaves. And you get, in the shade, you get some... burgundy colors and purple colors and yellow and some reds in foliage color. We've used this in the landscape in difficult areas, say underneath trees where no plant has gone before.
Oh, yeah. I've got a tree like that. I can use something for ground cover there.
And we have had very good luck with heuchera plants in growing in that situation. The variegated liriope is another one that works well in sun or shade. And it gives you some variegated color. And I like the variegated monkey grass
dare I say the word.
Dare I say it.
Yeah, if you say that on any of your plans in school, in landscape school, you would, they would get out, you know.
There's the door.
It is not monkey grass. It's liriope. But anyway, the variegated liriope forms a clump.
It does, yeah.
So it makes a good little eye popper in the landscape, mm-hmm. in the shadier part of the yard, too. It'll tolerate a great deal of shade. You want to avoid, if you don't want a clumping plant, you want to avoid the silver dragon liriope, though. Because I planted one over there by the fence at my house, where it's really shady. It's done very well. Mm-hmm. But it has runners that go all the way down to Ramona.
Oh!
And plumb up to Turley and all that. I mean, they really run real fast.
So you have to be careful what you...
Be careful of the ones you pick out. Yeah. Now, if you have a situation where you got some erosion or just an area that's surrounded by concrete or something, the silver dragon wouldn't be that bad of a bet, mm-hmm. because it will fill that in. And it's kind of an aggressive grower. So we've experimented with this in properties in Osage County where they really get no care at all. They're doing fine. And these actually spread and filled in and made a good ground cover. And it's variegated, too, to boot, so it looks nice. So anyway, there are different varieties of liriope. Be careful to get either the variegated or the silvery sunproof if you got a lot of sun. And it'll do quite well in a situation. Just give you a little sparkle here and there of color. So there are so many other perennials to talk about out there.
Tell you what, we're going to take a quick break right now, and we'll have more of the program coming up right here. It is now 8:43.
Spring has arrived, and like clockwork, Green Thumb Nursery has her new shipment of trees and shrubs, annuals, perennials, and tropical plants in, and they now have their new shipment of herbs in, too. Head to Green Thumb Nursery and Greenhouses on Nawata Road, Bartlesville's largest selection of quality plants and more. Open Monday through Saturday, 9 to 5:30, Sunday, noon to 5. And be sure to ask about a custom new landscape design plan. Green Thumb Nursery and Greenhouses on Nawata Road.
Say, Myrtle, look out there in the pantry. Ain't that cute?
What's cute?
Your new shelf paper with all that cute little fellers on them. The ants acting like you're going to a picnic carrying all that food.
You darn fool, put your glasses on, because then there are real ants moving about.
Well, I'll be. Look, there's one crawling up my pant leg.
I'm going to call Pratt Pass to Bartlesville right now.
We can't get ants out of your pants, but we sure can get them out of your pantry. Call 918-336-BUGS. That's 918-336-2847 for Pratt Pest of Bartlesville.
I loved playing high school sports. I loved the competition, the camaraderie, the bands, the crowds, all the pageantry, and I wanted to keep playing. But I graduated. No colleges called, and neither did the pros. So, to stay close to the game I loved, I decided to become a high school official. You know, a referee. When I played high school sports, I learned the importance of integrity, good sportsmanship, and respect for the rules. Now, as a high school official, I get to help model these same values to others. Maybe the colleges and the pros didn't call, but the kids in Oklahoma did. And now, I'm enjoying the competition, the camaraderie, the bands, the crowds, and all the pageantry of high school sports all over again.
Interested in becoming a licensed high school official? Go to highschoolofficials.com to learn more and begin the application process.
That's right, turn it up. We're back here with the Green Country Gardener Show with Green Thumb Nurseries, Larry. And, of course, your phone calls at 1-918-336-1400. Also, 1-800-749-5936. That is toll-free. We've been working from the ground up today on the program.
Well, let's jump out of the bed and go into the yard a bit.
Huh? Ah, there you go.
Lawns.
Greener pastures.
Oh, green. Oh, my yard this year, it looks like a billiard table.
It does.
Oh, wow. It's beautiful, yeah. But anyway, not time to raise the mower up a notch or so. I've got mine on maximum height. Mowed it last night because I knew it was going to rain. And while I was at work, probably. And we'll be able to get to it tomorrow. So I did it last night.
There you go.
And it looks really good. I raised up the mower all the way. And if I have to raise it up anymore, I'm going to have to get me some duct tape and put it on the wheels to raise it, because it's all the height it's got. So anyway, so it's time to raise that mower up maybe a little bit more on the Bermuda grass and get it to its summer height. Mm-hmm. I do like a real tall grass. There's more area for photosynthesis, more air for the grass to keep itself cool in the heat. So it uses transpiration. Plants do. Mm-hmm. They transpire as we sweat to keep the temperature moderated on it. So the more height you have on your grass when it gets hot, the better it's going to be. So you might want to do that, raise it up a little bit. 3 inches on fescue and maybe 2 inches on zoysia. Zoysia grass is a very very lush and thick grass too, and it needs a little bit of care and it needs, of course, a sharp blade. Don't let the mower blade get dull.
No. Okay. Can't do that.
So time to kind of raise it up a little bit. Also, another fertilization on the Bermuda grass. You have another opportunity coming today to put down some fertilizer for your Bermuda grass. If you fertilize it consistently throughout the summer, at least once a month, it'll perform so much better. It looks so much nicer. And if you have a sprinkler system, you don't have to worry about the rain. You just put it down and hit the button. But anyway, so it's time to give a time for your June fertilization if you hadn't done that already. I like to add a little bit of iron to the soil, too. It gives it a deep green color.
Mm-hmm.
And milorganite does a good job of that. Milorganite is actually 4% iron, which probably explains why the bag is so heavy.
Yeah, there you go.
Why it smells so good.
It smells real good, yeah. But anyway, no. The smell lasts a couple of days and it goes away, but it's not that bad a thing. So that fertilization is good. And if your green just isn't quite up to par, if it isn't really the green color you want, you might consider getting a good quality fertilizer that has some iron in it. We have a Southern Green Maker at the nursery, which has iron and sulfur in it, which will help darken the green color too. And milorganite does a good job of that, or get some iron sulfate, which will lower the pH also. It makes your sidewalks a pretty orange color too, unless you use ironite, which doesn't do that. So anyway, to get that green color, time to keep that fertilizing going. And if you have crabgrass right now, you can use MSMA or prodiamine. MSMA generally is not available to the public anymore, unless you're a big grower or something. But we use the prodiamine on that to help control. I think that's what it is. Somebody to know. But anyway, a post-emergent crabgrass control can be used at this point to control the crabgrass. Do we have a call or anything?
I don't think we do. No, okay. But anyway, I'll tell you what, I'm going to give the number out real quick so that if you do want to call in, you can, 918-336-1400, or you can call toll-free at 1-800-749-5936.
Okay, so if you do have some crabgrass in the yard and you want to get rid of it, you need to get after it really soon, because once it starts to go to seed, it's extremely difficult to control.
Mm-hmm.
It's metabolic rate. If you say that on plants, I guess it'll be phytobolic rate. Right. It slows down and it's more difficult to control.
Okay.
So you want to be proactive at this point to do a post-emergent control on your crabgrass, as some of it got away from your pre-emergent applications in the spring. So I did mine twice this year. I did one a little after St. Patrick's Day in April,
mm-hmm.
and I did it again about 2 weeks ago at crabgrass control because we had so much rain. It reduces the longevity of the crabgrass control. It dilutes it too much to the point where it's ineffective. So you need to do a supplemental application if we have a lot of rain in order for the effect to be in place.
Got to have that right there at the proper amounts there.
You always follow directions.
Always do that.
Always
they're there for a reason, I hear.
Well, you don't overdo it. If anything, underdo it a little bit and have a little plant or crabgrass or two plant, but don't overdo it, especially in the case of zoysia grass. Whenever we plant zoysia grass, I tell people avoid the use of herbicides for 1 year until it gets established. Because it'd be
a threat to the grass itself.
It's more sensitive. Yeah. Bayland is more sensitive to the crabgrass control, and also the prodiamine, the treflan, it kind of bothers it a little bit too. So you want to use it very judiciously.
Always nice to know there's no.
That's an easy one to say. Or properly, you want to use everything properly in that case. In case of zoysia grass, but zoysia typically grows so dense that you don't have much of a problem with weeds.
Very good. That's always a good problem to have. Dense grass, weeds, bye-bye.
So, yeah, that's right.
Now, as far as irrigating your lawn, it's best to water fairly heavily and infrequently. And the key word is 1 inch of rain per week. Be it natural rain, which sometimes we get 9 inches per week, but 1 inch per week is the typical application to maintain the grass. And also be aware of your soil type too. You might not have to water it as much as you are. If you have a heavy soil, the water, it stores and holds water really well. But if you let it get too dry, it's difficult to get the water back into the soil because the clay particles shrink. And it takes more effort to get the water in that soil.
It's almost like starting all over.
Well, it's kind of like those adobe bricks we made back in second grade, you know?
Yes.
We do landscapes, and, man, we have to use a pick. Before we use the tiller, we have to use a pick and a shovel.
Yeah.
The ground is so hard. Wow. And in some places, in a lot of places, actually. So the key feature is... an inch of rain per week, and you can put a series of cups or cans out there in the ground, and run your irrigation system. And when you reach a point where you have a quarter inch, you just quadruple that time for the entire week, and that should get it going, and keep it, and water it not Monday, Wednesday, and Thursday, Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, and Sunday. You might water it maybe Monday and Friday perhaps, rather than. So to keep the moisture level on the surface down a little bit, because we get a problem, especially with fescue grass, we get a problem when it gets hot with phytophthora, which is a disease of the stem. And the fescue just turns brown and just goes flat. And you got this ugly yard. And that's typically associated with heavy soils that have been overwatered, that don't have the proper pH and proper soil structure.
We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back with more right here on our network of stations. So stay around, and we've got the phone lines open at 1-918-336-1400 or 1-800-749-5936.
The most important feature in a window is trust. So go with a name you know, Anderson. The time-proven choice found in more homes than any other. And Anderson is the brand rated by builders as the most weather-tight, highest quality, and most durable. 400 series windows and doors from Anderson, the most trusted name in windows. See Anderson Windows and Doors at Overly Woods Lumber Company on No Water Road in Bartlesville.
Do you know where to find your vehicle's recommended tire pressure? Did you say on the tire? Ooh, sorry, think again. The best place to find the recommended tire pressure is on a sticker, usually located inside the driver's door, or check the owner's manual. Driving on underinflated tires can cause excess heat buildup, and that can cause tire damage and even tire failure. Make sure you check your tire pressure at least once a month and before long trips. It will save you money at the gas pump and keep you safe. A message from the Rubber Manufacturers Association.
In 1939, James Farley, the former chairman of the Democratic National Committee and Franklin Roosevelt's Postmaster General, traveled to Bartlesville, Oklahoma to meet with Frank Phillips. This was a special meeting, and for Frank, a bit different. As Farley did not come to visit about oil or banking, he had another purpose. He came to Bartlesville to try to convince Mr. Phillips to buy the New York Yankees baseball team. The former owner had died in 1939, and Farley and others felt that Frank had the resources necessary to buy the ball club. Already a wonderful dynasty with such greats as Babe Ruth and Lou Gehrig leading the way, the Yankees were known worldwide and would certainly provide great personal and professional exposure to Frank and to Phillips Petroleum. After much consideration, Frank decided not to buy the Yankees, and despite their continued success, he never regretted that decision. As he told his friends, "I just couldn't buy them. I've always been a National League man." Come enjoy the magic of Willow Rock, and welcome home to Willow Rock.
All right, welcome back to our program, and you can also be a part of the show, too, at 1-918-336-1400 or 1-800-749-5936. 5936. It's the Green Country Gardener with Green Thumb Nurseries, Larry. And Larry, we've got just a little bit time here before we get to the news at the top of the hour, but everything is coming up, as we heard the singer of the song say.
Everything's coming up, roses
all over the place.
Good time to plant trees and shrubs. When you do a landscape composition, keep in mind the environmental factors, the soil factors, architectural factors,
mm-hmm.
and the customer's ability to maintain that landscape factor also.
Yeah, that's the integral part there.
You
give them all the resources in the world, but when you bring it home, you got to take care of it.
We're just about to put the wraps on a fairly good-sized project right now, uh-huh. and we went through all this preparation, and the landscape is very simple for the customer to maintain. He doesn't have time for it.
Oh.
So you pick out plants that don't get too large to begin with.
Sure.
And they give you some color and kind of accent the landscape, and he wanted an edge against which you can mow really effectively and not, you know, bend or break or anything. So that's a few problems in the landscape menu like there that we had to solve. So irrigation and all that other stuff played into it too. So anyway, so keep that in mind when you're picking out your shrubs. How tall do you want the shrub to get? And what is your house structure? Is it a traditional structure? Is mm-hmm. it a contemporary? Is it a nondescript, do whatever you want kind of structure? What is your style? Do you like things tailored? Do you like things wild? Do you like things curved? Like square things? it depends on the landscape.
Yeah.
And also getting into the backyard, is your patio big enough? I see so many houses that have an 8 by 8 foot or an 8 by 12 foot patio. Uh-huh. That's not big enough to whip a cat.
No.
So you might consider in the scheme perhaps adding on to that patio and doing some landscaping around it to create your own little garden of Eden in the backyard.
Or Garden of Ed.
And so anyway, you want to go ahead and plan for something that looks pretty and something that you can be proud of and look really nice all year round.
Very good.
You use a blend of shrubs and annuals and perennials in the composition that'll give you something pretty to look at all the time. And don't forget lighting at night too. Because it does get cool at night.
Oh, it does.
Maybe about 3 a.m., but yeah. But it does get cool at night. And you can enjoy your outdoor space real nicely, too, if it's properly lit.
All right. So, we got about a minute left in the program. Now, we've given everybody the opportunity to call in, and you can do that every Saturday right here on your favorite radio station at 1-918-1400 or 1-800-749-5936. But, Larry, how can we get a hold of you the other days of the week if you got questions or things like that?
Call the nursery at 918-333-4091
mm-hmm.
or bring your plant with problems by or a picture of a plant that you might want identified. And we'll try to track it down and identify it for you. Or call and set up an appointment for me to come out to the house.
Yeah. That might work best because that's where everything else is integrated.
I emailed out plans this morning. So constantly doing that too. So we can do that by the email or whatever. But at any rate, whenever you do your landscape, Tom, always keep your shovel sharp. We'll see you next week.
All right. Take care now. Thank you.
For residential and commercial plumbing, call Mason's Plumbing, where serving you is their priority. This is KWON Bartlesville and 93.3 FM K227 CQ Bartlesville.